Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, a podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Today we have three future athletic trainers. We're going to have some fun talking to them, finding out what it's like either in the beginning of their program or towards the end of their program. Talk about the last 2 years in their MSAT program and see how it's going. Today, we'd like to welcome Stephanie Probert. How are you doing, Steph?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Always great to see you. Kayla O'Shaughnessy.
Hello. Kayla,
how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And Michael Misetich. Did I say it right that time, Michael? I never get it right.
Wonderful. Job A+.
I got it?
Yeah.
Woohoo! It's going to be a banner day. I never got it right. Oh, that's awesome. All right. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. So we're going to get rolling. Let's have you talk a little bit about where you're at, who you are, what's going on, how you got to this location. And of course, ladies are always first. We'll start with Kayla, if you don't mind. Go ahead, Kayla.
I go to California State University, Northridge. In my second year, I'll be graduating in like 30 days or something like that.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, super exciting. And then I'll be moving to Michigan. So excited for that. What got me into athletic training was actually in high school, I took a kinesiology class and I wanted to go the PT route. I got to college and I was like, you know what? I really like sports. I've played sports my whole entire life. I've gotten injured too many times. So I was in the athletic or the clinic often, and I found my interest through them, and I got talking to athletic trainers and I just kind of fell in love with it.
And Stephanie, how about you? How'd you get into this?
I go to the University of Michigan. Go Blue.
What is it with this, with Michigan all of a sudden?
Dude, Michigan's fabulous. I absolutely love it here. I recommend it to everybody. Can't wait for you to be here, Kayla.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I feel sorry for Michigan. There's going to be a problem in just 30 days, apparently.
In 30 days, it's going to be the best place ever. Kayla and I together again.
Yes.
Just saying. I'm in my first year here. I'll be officially done with my first year on Wednesday, so almost there. Got a couple of finals to study for. I got into athletic training. I've always done sports. I've injured myself a couple times, broken some bones, torn some ligaments, all the good stuff. Going into my undergrad, which I did at Cal State Northridge, I went to kinesiology because I knew I wanted to work in sports. Just wasn't sure exactly what route I was trying to go. Then I graduated. And I had no idea what I was actually doing with my degree. I just knew that I had a new degree in kinesiology. And I was like, wow, talked to Mr. Eli Halleck here, told me all about athletic training, got me into it. And I was like, yeah, this actually like sounds really fun. Told me to come to St. Francis, do some observation hours there. And I just fell in love with it. It all just kind of fell into place.
That was a fun coffee talk day. That was a lot of fun when we sat down and talked for it seemed like 3 or 4 hours, but probably like 90 minutes. That was a blast.
Yeah, got me here, so thanks.
You're welcome, I think. Hopefully it's a good thing. And then Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself, buddy.
So I am also at Cal State Northridge, classmate with the lovely Kayla.
Yes.
We have that on record now. We will post Thank that. You. It will be recorded forever, Kayla. There we go.
Thank you so much.
And my path to athletic training really stemmed from my brother who took a kinesiology class. And after taking biology and chemistry, chem was just too much math. Biology was just too much microscope. It really came down to being in the field and seeing different sides of kinesiology that really got me interested. And I was lucky enough to be on the field for my high school football team to win CIF. You know, it kind of seemed to stem from there that athletic training just seemed to be the perfect fit because I love to be on the field, in the clinic, working with the athletes and being an athlete myself. It just really blossomed into a true love for the profession.
Well said. I like that. You said your brother took a kinesiology class and that got you kind of interested. How did your brother's class get you interested? Were you at the same school? Did you take that class as well? Or did you take something similar? And are you talking about high school or college?
So he took it in high school with a man named Eli Halleck. Seems like a good dude.
And, I wouldn't trust the guy. He sounds sketch. Sounds very sketchy.
So it was in high school that he took the class. I was actually more of the test dummy practice model. You know, I had plenty of ankle tapes and tricks and doodads done to me. And that's oddly enough what got me interested.
So you were his patient when he studied for exams and practicals, and it just kind of clicked for you then.
Yeah, I was. And it just kind of opened my eyes to a new field of science that I wasn't aware of before.
Now, you said he took it, and I remember your brother, obviously. He took it at our school, but you went to a different high school. Did you take anything in high school similar, or did you stick with biochem and physics? Or
I did end up taking kinesiology junior year myself, which was kind of the start of being exposed to it directly and finding an interest in kinesiology, which led to doing clinical hours to get some hands-on experience in PT clinics, other athletic trainers. Shout out to Junko, our high school athletic trainer who was on the field, and getting to see what she did really was something that like sparked the start of all of this.
Props to Junko at Crescenta Valley High School. Definitely love her. And wait a minute, I just realized, Kayla, that you guys both went to the same high school, right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't have the luxury of working with Junko at the time. So I only did just strictly kinesiology and then just strictly at the PT clinics.
Oh, that's a bummer. I love Junko. I've known her for so long. She actually helped us start the competition way back in, I believe, 2002. She was our intern when we got it. Yeah, the look on your face you have right now about how old I am, that's the look on the face she had when I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create an event. The look on her face was exactly the same. Wow, that's a while back. Gosh, that brings back some cool memories. And yeah, don't tell me that you weren't born yet or anything like that. Hey, make me feel older.
I was two.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And Mike, what were you, one?
2002, I was going on six.
Hey, yay. I feel a little younger, but not by much. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, my year starts with a one, so don't worry.
Okay, I like you. I like you more right now. I feel a little bit better. Appreciate that. So you guys are in... All three of you. Love you all. We've had you. I've been blessed with working with all three of you at some point, some way, whether it's as a volunteer or as a preceptor for you, and had just a fantastic experience with all three. Now, Steph, you are in the height of working hours. You are busting your butt, working like crazy, studying in that Master of Science in Athletic Training program out at Michigan. How do you find right now, with how unpredictable sometimes our hours are, How do you navigate, I'd hate to say a work-life balance, but really a college work-life balance? Because that's really what it is. You've got classes, you've got work for the athletic training department, and you have to balance studying. How do you do that?
I feel like this semester has been a little bit harder for me. I'm working Michigan tennis right now. We've got both teams, men's and women's. And of course, they've got two different practice schedules, two different match schedules, showing up at all different times. So,
of course. Why would it ever be the same? No, no.
It makes it really easy for us.
Of course.
Actually, you know, this semester I've had to learn a lot about managing my time, just because for our program, we've got three clinicals we have to do, and then we have to do an immersion clinical, which clinicals, like regular clinicals, we take with classes. And then immersion, we have no classes at the same time. You have a preceptor that you pretty much follow around 24/7. You live their life as an athletic trainer, and you've got hours you have to do. So for regular clinicals, it's 180. For our immersive, it's 360 hours we have to complete.
Now, is that in those hours, is that in a semester? Is that in a month? Is that in a quarter? What are we talking?
That's in the semester. With tennis this semester, I am supposed to complete 180 hours. I have, as of today, completed 407.
So you're exceeding expectations at the moment.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit. Okay.
I've had a lot of discussions with my preceptor this semester. This is her first year as a certified athletic trainer. She's a fellow here at the University of Michigan with tennis. She understands like exactly where I'm coming from. She just graduated. She knows exactly what it's like trying to balance everything. There's times where she will look at me and she's like, go home. Like, I'll tell her, like, hey, I've got a test tomorrow. And she's like, what are you doing here?
Good for her. So she's helping you learn.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. Her name's Lauren Smeltzer.
Fabulous. Ah, props to Lauren. That's awesome.
She's applying to jobs right now for next year. So if you are lucky enough to get Lauren as your AT, congratulations. Sometimes it's just talking to your preceptor and telling them, hey, like, I've got this going on. Sometimes it's studying all day long and I need a break. I FaceTime my mom a lot, cry to her and be like, Mom, I'm going to drop out. And she's like, that's really funny.
That's not allowed, right, Kayla? She's not allowed to drop out.
No. What am I going to do?
Yeah. Who's she going to hang out in Michigan with? You can't do that. No, can't do that.
Sometimes, like, during studying, I just take breaks. Just sit on the couch, watch TV. I'm very lucky that my fiance has been cooking me dinner every single night since.
What a guy.
So he's definitely been taking care of me, because sometimes I think I forget to take care of myself. It's very easy to kind of just forget. You just kind of have to force yourself to like, okay, I've been studying for 5 hours. Like, I need to like stop. Or I've been at like school in the morning, then clinical, like I do need to go home and like study for this test I've got going on. I mean, after this, guess what? I'm going to go study for this final. Got to balance we're doing Big Ten tournament this week and I have to balance it all. I've got finals next week. And then after finals, it's nap time.
Naps. Oh boy. I remember those vaguely. Now, what about you, Kayla? How do you balance everything? Not only, Stephanie alluded to being, or stated she's engaged, you're actually married. So you're balancing a home life, you're balancing education, you're balancing studying, working in the training room. How do you get around to that work-life balance?
It's difficult. It really is. And it did take time to like get down what actually worked best for me. But what I found is creating a schedule for myself, even if that's like front loading homework for like the first beginning of the week, knowing that you have the end of the week to do stuff that like you can be in the clinic more often, or I can hang out with my husband more often. But setting a schedule for yourself has been like really crucial for me. And I think Stephanie hit it right on the head. Is like something I really struggled with in the beginning was telling my preceptors, like, I can't go in today, I have homework. I think it's important to know, like, it's okay to tell your preceptors that. And I know it can be intimidating, but sometimes that's what we have to do.
None of us are intimidating. We're all shy, quiet, timid people. That's why we got into the profession.
You're sure. So right. Absolutely.
Why is Michael even laughing on that one? What are you saying, buddy?
Well, there's a lot going through the head.
You plead the fifth. Is that what you're saying right now?
Somewhat, yeah. For this question, let's just stick with that.
Oh, but yeah, I think it's important. Definitely set a schedule. That's what's helped me so much. Write it down on your planner, and physically writing it out, and set actual times for yourself. Like, okay, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., like, I'm going to be doing this homework. That has helped me so much with, like, planning life with my husband and school and even clinical hours.
Very valuable comments there. That's pretty good. Now, Michael, we're going to tweak that just a tiny bit, because they kind of have a built-in support system with either the husband or the fiance working off that work-life balance. What kind of support system do you hope to have in place, or even have in place right now, to help you manage the demands of your work-life balance?
I would say that it comes down to finding those around you that are naturally there to support, you know, the family, the friends, but also finding things that I enjoy to do and getting out and doing them. And sometimes Steph and Kayla have said, being able to say no, taking time for yourself, being able to get out, and if that's half an hour, and take a walk or take a hike, doing something that I enjoy has really, I think, filled in the times that I'm overwhelmed, and being able to just say, hey, I'm going to go do something fun, get a bite to eat, and truly disconnect from the workload. I think that your support system's there, but at the end of the day, we're the ones doing the clinicals, the classes. So we have to have our own support system within ourselves to take that time and be able to regulate where our time is spent each day.
That's so well said. You actually just jarred a memory that obviously I've suppressed for decades. When I was at Braille Linda High School, a little nod or a tip of the cap to an old coach I used to work with, Jeff Sink. He was a nationally recognized cross-country coach for a long time, and then decided to change to basketball one day. And he was a phenomenal female or all-girls basketball coach. He was fantastic. One day he came to my facility and saw me just stressed out, going crazy. It was that special time in the year where football and basketball crossover. And you guys are all nodding, going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And at Braille Linda, which is kind of on the eastern side of Orange County, the high school's built up on a hill. And he looked at me, Eli, come with me. Let's go. Come on. And I looked at him, Jeff, I don't have time. I got to tape your girls. I got to tape the guys getting ready for a game. Just come on. And he grabbed me. And he's a little guy. I mean, he was a cross country. He's maybe 5'6", maybe 120 pounds. Grabbed me by the arm, started pulling me outside, and looked at me and said, just follow me. And he dragged me outside to the back door of the gym where my facility was. Would you just look? I'm like, Jeff, I got to get back in. He's like, just turn and look. And the beautiful thing about the high school is, on a sunny day, you could see past Disneyland all the way to the ocean and watch the sunset. Wow. And he looked at me and went, you need this? I'll tell everybody to just shut up for a couple minutes. Stay out here. And like you said, you need to find something for just that moment in time to kind of center you and calm you down and give you balance again. And I'd forgotten all about that memory. So thanks for jarring it. I appreciate that. Wow. That was, you probably saved a lot of people's ankles that day right before I taped them, more than likely. Spinning off that and talking about networking with people, because that was really a network, someone I met, someone I knew, someone I worked with, and I took his advice, and it really helped that day. How have you tried to build a network, a professional network within our community to hopefully help you in the future?
You know, I think just having the courage to shake hands, and even if it's a quick meeting, just say, hi, it's great to meet you. And for many of us that, you know, are in the position of just getting into the field or soon to be in the field, you really just kind of are growing a network and taking that leap just to shake a hand or spend a couple minutes talking, I think is sometimes not the easiest, but really important to start developing a familiarity with the people around you. But I think it also stems off of those you work with, our classmates, and even fellow students you may, you know, work with at clinical sites, building a network with them because they have met people that you have never met before. And that really does a good deed of duplicating, tripling your network really quickly. So I think that's really important as well.
Like you said, it almost compounds it. It's just constantly reaching out. It's like tentacles just keeps going. You meet people through people. And I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, we just finished Far West Athletic Trainers Association meeting this past weekend. And a month ago was the California Athletic Trainers Association's annual conference. Kayla, did I see you at either of those events?
No.
And why not? How are you going to build a network if you're not doing stuff like that?
The reason why I didn't go to FWADA is just because I'm moving. It's quite expensive to go over there. That was a thought that crossed my mind. Well, if I'm not going to attend these events, then how am I going to reach those networks that my fellow classmates got when they attended these conferences? And I think it's just important, like, building a relationship with your preceptors has been one of the biggest things that I've learned. And honestly, just being myself, just showing them like who my true authentic self is, going off of them, because your preceptors know so many more people. One of my preceptors, I expressed my concerns with moving to Michigan, how I don't have that connection and I don't have that support. And they're like, oh, well, you know what? Like, I have someone's number that was from Michigan. Do you want to reach out? When I talk to my preceptors, they have extra connections, and that has helped me build that network, was mainly just through all of my preceptors.
It's amazing the network that some of us create. It boggles my mind every now and then how many people we have actually connected with over the years. You for sure know one person in Michigan right now in the field. And I'm pretty sure Stephanie's sitting there waving. I'm pretty sure she's made a few connections, and that's a good starting point. But like you say, it's almost like Michael said, it kind of just grows, it compounds, and one person leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. One of the jokes that we have going, all us old people with gray hairs that have been in this a while, when we go to those conventions, most of our favorite things to do is just sit down and catch up and meet people, see old friends and network. We think sometimes that's even more valuable than some of the conferences. Hopefully the NATA doesn't take offense to that. You get to connect with people that you're going to see in the field. You're going to see clinically, you might need help with, you might need a reference. And all of a sudden, your friend in Michigan, Stephanie, can put you into contact with somebody. Stephanie's going, oh yeah, I gotcha. Stephanie, have you thought about people you could connect Kayla with while you're out there?
I have watched my preceptor's applying for jobs right now. Watching her reach out to people, she applied to a job in Texas. She was reaching out to people, talking to people around here. Hey, do you know anybody in Texas? Just trying to get her name in there.
Eric Fajardo, how you doing, buddy? You listening to this? Keep an eye out for Lauren.
Just kind of watching her has taught me a lot. This weekend, we've got every single Big Ten women's athletic trainer for tennis we're hosting. So I take the time to go talk to them. I mean, some of them are fellows, like they leave at the end of the year, getting to know them wherever they're going. Like I can, hey, like, do you remember when I was a student? So I've already talked to like Penn, Rutgers, Michigan State, Nebraska, and then just shaking their hand and being like, hey, I've got one of our fellows is going to the University of Tennessee next year for her job. And I was like, hey, like, is it okay if I like text you in the future? Like if you guys are ever like, cause I need a job one day.
Yeah. We can't do this for free forever. Right. Actually, you're not even doing it for free. You're paying to do this.
A lot of money too.
Yeah. A lot of money. It ain't cheap.
And then we had they're called the Mamas, our Michigan Athletic Medicine Awards.
Mamas. Okay. Mamas, you know? I like that. I like that. All right.
The new NATA president came to the Mamas, gave a little speech, shout out to AJ. And I just walked up to him. I was like, hey, it's nice to meet you. Said hi, told me to, you know, if we ever have any like suggestions or things we want to see in the profession, like send him an email. Like he wants to grow the profession and see how he can like change it for the better. So
I'm hoping you're forming that email right now, actually. That'd be, type away. There you go. Now, question, and here's just a thought. Did you guys go to those conferences with business cards and hand them out? Okay. So as you pause, laugh, make faces, for those of you other athletic training students that are listening, all two of you, make some business cards for next year. Seriously, just some personal business cards with your cell phone, your email, what school you're at, and put your hopes, dreams, desires on the card. It is impressive when a college student come up and say, nice to meet you, Mr. Mrs., and hand you a business card. It's like, wow, really? All right. You're in this to win this. I like that. I like that. Just a little pearl of wisdom there. That's my one for the year.
Thanks, Eli. Still teaching us.
I know. Look at him go.
Hey, every now and then I have a good idea. Not very often, but every now and then.
I'll say it's pretty rare.
Wow, it's like being at home now. Jeez, gosh. I can go back to work now. My goodness. So here's a question for, we're going to go back to Michael. Dreams, aspirations, are you going big leagues or bust? Or what setting are you hoping for in your future?
I would say that as a young high schooler, the sound of being in the big leagues was always the big dream. But as you learn throughout schooling and talking to that network that you develop, you know, things change and there's a little light that's shed onto things. And I think of the whole, I definitely can see myself, you know, in a high school or a collegiate setting for sure. Whichever one falls, I'm unsure, but I think my options are open there. I don't have a set destination of this team for this organization, but definitely could see myself, you know, in the collegiate or the high school setting.
And what about you, Steph?
At first, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to like something professional. I actually went to this like presentation with the Detroit Tigers, and they explained like what you really have to go through to like get into the professional setting. And I was like, no, I'm actually good.
A little bit of an eye opener, huh?
And then they pretty much just told me like, don't have a family. You don't have time for those. And I was like, oh. So I really like the collegiate setting. The athletes have just been amazing this year. I love them. And they really, really make me want to work in the college setting. Love to be in something big, but at the same time, totally fine with being at a smaller school.
Kayla, what about you? Big leagues or bust or another setting?
A lot of people tell me I'm crazy because I
was. I know I have. Stephanie, how about you? You've been there, yeah. Right? Mike.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So the three of us. Yeah, all three of us agree. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
I want to work at a high school setting. I absolutely love the high school. I can't tell you why. It's just something about it I just absolutely love. My goal is to work at a high school. Eventually, maybe go to a community college. I've gone back and forth maybe with the military since my husband is in the military, if that's something that we wanted to do. But for now, honestly, high school. High school is where my heart really is.
That's awesome and crazy, both at the same time. And man, pretty much. So we're right. You are crazy, but it's kind of neat to have something to look forward to and have a goal and an aspiration. I mean, I've told the three of you, I was going NFL. I was never going to teach, let alone be at a high school. Yeah, let's look at how that worked out. I mean, 27 years at the high school setting, and I'm happy. You never know. You can't say no. You never know what's going to happen.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
Looking forward into the future and thinking about careers and thinking about what's going on. Kayla, What are some of the biggest challenges you anticipate facing you as a new athletic trainer next year?
I think the biggest one coming my way is going to be the different culture between California and Michigan. Going from a place that doesn't have licensure to a place that does is going to be different. And I know they have different rules and regulations over there. So I think that's going to be like the biggest challenge I'm going to face. Not only am I learning a new state, but I'm learning their laws as well as I go. Like, you can read as much as you want, but it's going to be different practicing that way. And I think that's going to be a big change. And also, if I'm the only AT, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for me too, is just first settling in and figuring out how I'm going to want to run this place. It's my clinic and how I want to run it versus following a preceptor and how they have their rules. So I think that's going to be my biggest challenge, as well as just learning how to manage a clinic and just running the whole show by yourself.
Yeah, you said something that some people might be listening, like my sister. I love my sister, Angela. She's a teacher. She kind of understands the high school level, but doesn't get it all. She doesn't know what we completely do. Sometimes I talk to her and I say something, she goes, I didn't know you do that. You talked about licensure and how you're going from a state that doesn't have it to a state that does. Can you explain what you're talking about so someone who's not in the healthcare field or athletic training knows what's going on when you leave here in California and jump ship and go to Michigan?
Yeah, so basically in California, according to BOC standards, you do have to be a certified athletic trainer to be practicing. But in the state of California, there isn't like a law that you kind of fall under. A lot of times here, we'll find like EMTs that are running the show like an athletic trainer. So they're kind of like treating injuries and doing whatnot. And that's perfectly okay according to California laws. But in Michigan, it says that you have to be a certified athletic trainer in order to have that title as an athletic trainer. So I don't know how else better to explain that.
No, it kind of makes sense. So you can only be an athletic trainer in Michigan if you've gone through a program, I would presume, and then passed a state exam. So to get your license, kind of like a physician or a PA or an NP would.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Stephanie, but I don't think you have to take a specific test for Michigan, but you have to pass the Board of Certification for Athletic Training. So you have to receive your certification from the BOC, and then you have to go and there's like a application process you have to fill out to get your licensure for the state of Michigan. There's different other courses that you have to essentially kind of take in order to get that licensure.
Is that right, Stephanie?
Yeah, so here it's not like a test. There are some states where it is a separate test. I mentioned the girl that's going down to the University of Tennessee next year. She was showing me the test that she has to take to get her licensure for Tennessee. Here, it's more of an application. There is a lot of more kind of things we're allowed to do under our licensure. Each state is different. So here, athletic trainers, we can get certified to do like dry needling, but it's like a separate certification. But you are allowed to do it here under our licensure. We do have the ability to cast people. So I have learned casting in my program, because in the state of Michigan, athletic trainers do that. Each state is a little different, but Michigan tends to have a lot more you can do. You just have to apply for that licensure. Sadly, you have to pay for it. It's not cheap.
They got to make their money, right?
Yep. The thing is, like with licensures, you're licensed in Michigan. So you were to move, go get a job at like a different school in a different state, it's all new licensure, all new thing you got to pay for.
Michael, if Stephanie gets her license in Michigan and Kayla was saying California doesn't have it, what's the big difference there? Is California the only state, or are there other states without licensure registration? And then how would she transfer in with her state license?
If I'm not incorrect, we are the state of California, the only one without any type of regulation. There are some states, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, New York is a state off the top of my head that has not licensure, but a registration. And so, that
similar to nursing, where they're registered nurses. Got it.
Correct. Coming over, if someone had a licensure in a state like Michigan and came to California, well, they just kind of stopped paying for that licensure. And now they operate under a parameter that technically is seen by a physician. We work under a physician, but we do not have a set lay of the law under licensure to tell us what can or cannot be done in that parameter as athletic trainers.
So as athletic trainers in California, and I know this, and we're again explaining this to my sister so she can understand and tell her sons, anybody can really claim they're an athletic trainer no matter what their knowledge is. And you can have your license and come in and go, well, hey, I'm licensed, but it doesn't really matter. But if I were to go to, say, Michigan, because I don't have a license, I might, depending on Michigan, Tennessee, wherever, I might have to actually sit down, take a new exam to become certified, licensed, registered in that state. So in Cali, we're kind of behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's been on and going, yeah, pretty much. You know, it's kind of annoying to all of us that have been around the profession for so long. I'm sure I see y'all, all three nodding. You all agree with me on that. So Angela, help us out on that. You know, help us get licensed. I know that we've got a bill right now that's working its way through the Senate side, and we're hoping to get at least registration in 2025. Angela, again, please talk to your friends, talk to your colleagues, push everybody. Let's get this passed. We need it done. Yeah, everybody's nodding their head. Please, yeah. please. Back to you, Mike, though. What are some of the challenges you see since you're about to take the boards, or you have taken the boards, you're crossing your fingers? Kayla just, I'm sorry, Kayla, I didn't mean to bring that back up. I'm so sorry. She just went into convulsions, I think. Kayla, we know, is waiting for the results of her BOC exam, and we're crossing fingers and saying little prayers, lighting incense, lighting candles. Mike, back to you. What are some of the things you anticipate as some of the bigger challenges?
I think starting out, the big challenges are really experiencing the things that you may have not seen firsthand during your clinical hours as a student out in the field. Like Kayla mentioned, if you're going into a setting that you are the lone athletic trainer, there's a lot of responsibility, because there's a lot of times in clinical practice, you got a preceptor, you know, that's a little bit like a helping hand, a little guidance. When you're on your own, there's no look to your left. Hey, you know, it's like nobody's there. It's just you. So when
no one to lean on, no one to help.
Right. Which really is a big jump. And that's the time that, as a new athletic trainer, the struggle is, I think, creating that confidence, but also that internal clock, that things start becoming habit. And it takes a couple times to get past those first stages of, wow, that just happened. Okay, what went right? What went wrong? You know, hopefully you're not having anything major happen right away, but you really do. There's no easy way to get into it. It's blunt. You know, it happens, and it's okay, go time. There's just you, you know?
Amen to that. It's eye-opening. It's really eye-opening. I remember my first time outside a clinic setting when I was on my own, just all the stuff I thought I knew, and realizing, oh my God, I don't know enough. It's humbling. It's a very humbling experience. Spinning just a little bit off this, Steph, think about it kind of like pushing boundaries. What's a role that you would like to take outside of a traditional setting, if you could? So pushing the boundaries of athletic trainers and promoting what we do and how we do it, how would you, or what is an arena you would like to go into?
So you mean like job?
Job, volunteer work, something outside what we can consider traditional or normal setting.
So I've kind of thought about like this a lot, especially now. One day I want to have kids, and also kind of thinking about like taking care of them in the future. It's going to be hard to separate myself from being an athletic trainer and them going into sports. So I definitely think about volunteering a lot as an athletic trainer, because I think it's also really important for us to volunteer and put ourselves in things that usually people don't see us in. I know your daughters did dance. I did cheer. There's not a lot of athletic trainers at those events. I think these are
not at all. Not at all. It's really overlooked.
I mean, and these are sports. I mean, cheer, we're throwing people, three people high in the air, like, and we're flipping them and doing all sorts of stuff. Why aren't we there?
Some fantastic injuries to be seen online through cheer. I actually use them in my class often.
I definitely think in my future, because I do want to do my dream job, guys, is being a cheer or dance athletic trainer in the collegiate setting. But I kind of want to volunteer at some of these other UCA or UDA events, the dance or cheer things, and showing people what athletic trainers are. And it's kind of, some people believe that there's a big, you know, should we be called athletic trainers, or is trainer just fine? A lot of us don't like being called trainers, because I do not train anybody to lift weights. I'm not a PE teacher. People get a little confused about that. I have somebody in my cohort that their grandparents walk around telling everyone, like, oh, she's trained to be a PE teacher. And that's not what we are.
Ouch.
So,
but grandma, grandpa, okay, you gotta say no, but okay, hard, kind of set in their ways, hard to change your mind, but yeah, difficult.
But I kind of want to go to some of these events that we're not at and kind of start creating more jobs for us, because you really need us there. There's a lot of sports that just don't have us, that we are extremely important. We are, if somebody gets injured, your doctor isn't there. We are the first responder. We're here to help you.
Sorry, somebody just threw a thumbs up image on the screen. It was quite funny, and that's why we're all laughing a little bit. Gotta love being around friends, right, Steph?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Off that, I'm gonna suspect that was Michael. Just a hunch, but tell me if I'm wrong.
On the thumbs up, I think that was Steph on her own.
Okay, there we go. Oh, I liked it. Kayla, let's go to Kayla on this one. So we've talked about challenges. What are some of the rewards of this profession that you've seen and you've noticed or you've experienced?
The biggest reward is seeing your athlete from a stage of when they first get injured. They're kind of sad, they're kind of down, and seeing them have that reward of when they actually can go back to sport and seeing how happy they are, it hits differently. Seeing them and seeing how their attitude changes and knowing that you're the person that helped lead them to that happiness is just so rewarding. I think that the biggest thing I love about athletic training is not only are you just seeing these athletes and, you know, you build relationships, but sometimes you build these really deeper relationships with these athletes. And it's so nice to have that connection with them and knowing that you're the person that helped them. Honestly, that is the top of everything. That makes me feel so good, just seeing them happy at the end of the day.
That's really when you know you're a healthcare provider, when you are happy, excited, you're fulfilled.
Yes.
Helping someone else and seeing the joy that they have. And we're all nodding our heads. We've all been there. What about you, Michael? Same thing. Some of the rewards.
Seeing your athlete back on the field, I think that's what we all strive for. And it's really what we all do for our job is we love to have our athletes in the clinic. Our job is have them on the field. You know, we like it when you're on the field and not in the clinic. That means you're healthy. You know, what's rewarding for me is being a resource as a healthcare professional for my athletes, that I'm a person of trust and a person of knowledge, and I can help them even with things that may not be the typical injury. We learn a lot about general medicine, and having that knowledge and just being a resource to say, maybe get this checked out, and just being able to advise them and help direct them to the right specialist may they need that is, I think, something that I've really enjoyed. And is oddly, maybe I'm the only one, but I think it's really rewarding to have the knowledge and be able to share it with athletes, other populations that I may work with.
Family members, maybe? Have you gotten a lot of those questions yet?
I've had to put a stipulation of at least, you know, $20 per appointment.
For family, huh? Exactly. Geez, I'd be rich if that was the case. I would like that. Yeah, everybody else is going, yep, pretty much. Yep, yep, yep. I think my first telemedicine phone call ever was with my parents. So I understand that. Outside of athletic training, what type of activities or projects and outside of your academic life, what drives you? What are you passionate about, Steph?
I mean, soon I'll be very passionate about planning a wedding.
Woohoo! In Michigan or California? Big question right there.
California.
Yay!
Look out for your invitations, guys.
We'll be checking the mail.
This kind of goes back to like the whole like work-life balance, trying to like find something outside of everything. I know it's very controversial because I do work for tennis. So my tennis players have a lot of feelings on this, but I have started pickleball. Now, if you ask my tennis players, I'm completely in the wrong for this. They think I'm just like atrocious. Like, absolutely not. But like, I'm sorry, guys. Like, pickleball is a little bit cheaper than tennis. So I'm not like rolling in money here. So pickleball was like $40 for like two paddles and some balls. And like, you know,
there you go.
Scott and I we're starting pickleball. Come to, you know, watch our pickleball championship, guys. I'm not going to go far in it.
You're not going to be a professional team traveling the world yet?
I don't think so. Sometimes the ball actually hits me and not the paddle.
We got to find that video, guys. I'm telling you right now. Mike, Kayla, we got to look for that.
Send it our way.
Outside of everything, starting, you know, just like going outside. I know you're in California, guys. So it's nice and sunny and pretty and everything. But here in Michigan in April, it's a little confused. Today, bright and sunny, guys. Tomorrow, it's raining. Randomly, it will just snow on you. So
it's cloudy in California today. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, when you get snow out of your clouds, you come talk to me.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, we'll stick in Cali.
When it's bright and sunny here, I gotta go outside. I need my vitamin D. I need some outside time and just find stuff for yourself. Honestly, just find things that I like reading. So sometimes I'm just like, I'm checking out of everything. I'm going to sit on this couch in the corner. Don't talk to me.
What about you, Kayla? Something you're passionate about outside of what we do?
Right now, my passions have been lying to find an apartment.
Got to have priorities in your passions, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you want my address, my apartment complex, let me know.
Send that my way.
New neighbors.
Imagine Stephanie and I neighbors, that'd be great.
Oh, I would feel so sorry for that development. Oh my goodness.
Like a really kind of an expensive hobby if you ask my husband. I've gotten into building Legos.
What? Legos.
Oh, Legos are amazing. Yes. Especially because I'm the person where like my brain, it just goes. And it just runs, and it runs all the time. So Legos really helped me sit down, like, focus on, like, building them. So it kind of, like, is a way for my brain just to stop and, like, distracts it. Because I'm just always thinking about something. A lot of creative things and stuff that, like, distract my mind is great for me. So that's been my current obsession. I love it.
When you move and you need a moving, or we get you a moving going away present, we know what we're getting now, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll start ordering.
There we go.
A list of my wants.
There we go. Yeah, just know it'll either be Star Wars, Marvel, or Harry Potter from my side. So it'll be Lego, but yeah, there we go.
I'll still build it.
There we go. How about Michael? What are you passionate about outside of our healthcare field?
There's a lot of passions I've had, you know, whether I get into them. You know, ceramics was a big one in high school that I got really into. I haven't been able to get into it as much as I would like to, but something I will likely take up to have as a kind of passion outside of having my first job in the future soon, hopefully. But as a student, a lot of time I spent with cooking and mountain biking or hiking, just getting outdoors, I think.
Amen, outdoors. Such
yeah,
a
key. As a student, as an athletic training student, there's a lot of time, you know, you spend in a clinic or studying in a coffee shop or sitting in class. And so for me, it's just being able to escape that environment and being outside and just kind of taking things in. It's really easy to put your nose down and just forget about the world spinning around you. Those and then cooking. I get to be distracted, do something, but then I get to reward myself with some good food.
That sounds good to me. That sounds fantastic. I know we didn't mention this earlier, but this is our second take on future athletic trainers. The first one, and we can joke about it right now, something went wrong digitally on my end. We only recorded 3 minutes and 50 seconds. So it's amazing how quickly it goes when we start talking with colleagues and friends that we have a relationship with. And I don't want to take too much of your time because I know one of you is looking for an apartment. One of you is stressing about BOC and the other is stressing about, well, exams. So I don't want to take too much of your time left. I do have one more question for all of you. What is some advice or words of wisdom, or think of it as a pearl, that you could share with someone thinking about going into athletic training, or something you'd like to send out there to preceptors that you've either worked with or might work with? How about we start with Kayla?
The biggest advice I'd have for someone is like, the journey, it's not always easy, but the reward at the end of the day, it's going to be so worth it. No matter how hard you think class is now, it's going to be okay. I don't know how many times I've cried. Crying's normal. It's okay to cry. To my past preceptors, just a big thank you. Without you guys, I don't think I would be where I am today. You guys really helped shape me as an athletic trainer and graduating soon. And anyone going to take the BOC, it's going to be okay. I'm right.
That's not what you think when it's happening. And yeah. It's been a while, but God, I remember that. Yeah, I feel for you.
Yeah, everything will be okay at the end of the day. And just be proud of yourself. You've come so far already. So yeah, just be proud of what you've done so far.
And Steph, what about you?
So I remember a year ago, sitting in Eli's office, telling him how I thought I was an idiot. And I absolutely knew nothing at all going into my program. And I was so nervous. He kind of told me just to trust the process. Just wait. At the beginning, you're going to feel like stupid in your classes. You're going to feel like you know nothing. You're going to be nervous the first time an athlete comes up to you and asks you for something or wants you to evaluate an injury. And your first evaluation, it's going to be rough. You're definitely going to be nervous. You got to fake it till you make it. And then at some point, you're not going to notice it, but it all just changes. And it just is very muscle memory. And you just kind of, somebody comes up to you and you just go. And you don't think about it. At the beginning, it's rough. As Kayla said, cried a lot. I've definitely come home from tests, called my mom and been like, Mom, I failed. I start crying. And I tell her, I failed the whole class. Get the test back. I got like a B. Like, I'm totally fine. But, you know.
Well, you know, to us, a B is a fail, right? Because we want to be the best we can at taking care of patients. So we want that. We want that. Hell, we want the 100% every time.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you're going to get tests. I've looked at like the front page of tests and just been like, crap.
Uh-oh. I didn't know this was supposed to be on the test.
There's definitely like moments like that throughout that you're going to have, but like, it's going to be okay. In the end, you do know it and you have to be confident with yourself.
And Michael.
I think that as a student, like really the gem is, you know, don't sweat the small things and don't worry too much. It's going to happen. You'll look back and you're like, wow, did I really stress about that one test? You know, was it worth it? There's a lot. And it's a big, you know, journey to be in a profession like this. And have, like you said, Eli, have high expectations of ourselves. I think as a whole, don't worry too much. Don't sweat the small stuff and have faith in yourself. And as a whole, like Kayla said, you know, as preceptors, they really did a lot. And I have to do say thank you, because without preceptors, we probably wouldn't be the students and hopeful future professionals we are aspiring to be. And I think that for preceptors, that really just remembering the students you work with is the future of the profession. So if there's things you want to see and inspire them to strive for more, you know, tell them, you know, there's more, and encourage them, help them grow, because the future of the profession is in their hands.
That's a sobering comment. I appreciate that. That's a joke, though. I look at all three of you, and I listen to you, and I've worked with all of you, and I have the utmost confidence that we're in good hands in the future. The programs that you are all in, the people you've become as clinicians, let alone as adults. Stephanie, I've known you a little longer. Just a little bit. So watching you all grow up, whether it's as long as I've watched Steph or the couple years that I've known Mike and Kayla, watching you develop into the young men and women that you are and in our profession has been awesome. And yeah, I think we're good. I think our profession is really going in a good place with people like you jumping on board. So thank you. Yeah, I better stop before I say something else. I got an image to uphold. I can't be too nice, right? Jeez. Love y'all. Thank you for coming on for the second time. We'll make sure this one records and we'll make sure we get to post it. It is fantastic to see you. Looks like I got to buy some sunglasses as a present for Michael to go outside. Legos before Kayla leaves. And then I'll be watching for that invitation. And Lord knows what we got to buy Steph. So, but we all know it'll be for Steph, not for Scott. Sorry, Scott.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, come on, guys. It's my wedding. He just shows up.
You just show up and say, I do. The groom, that's it. The groom's just eye candy on the side. That's it.
He's already told me he does not care really about most of the things. I was like, that's fabulous, because I actually don't care about your opinion either. So,
well, at least he knows what he's getting into.
Love it.
That's her. Anyway, guys, it was fantastic to see you. Thanks for jumping back on board for a second time, and we got it right this time. Good luck with the BOC. Crossing fingers, saying prayers. Hope you all get it on the first time, and have a fantastic day. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you all later.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.